Welcome back to the Daily Football Show on a Friday. It's been a big, big week. Let's be honest about that, boys. And just a little cherry on top of the cake. It's Scott Miller, the Identity Pro founder, of course, the Fox Sports analyst every Friday, joining us, the tactician. Welcome.
Afternoon, gents. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm great, mate. I'm smiling from ear to ear. Don't worry about me.
Good, good.
Expansion. Now, I'm pretty happy. You know my bugbears, but let's get positive. Let's look at the glass half full scenario. What are your thoughts about the two teams that have come in?
Well, to be honest with you, I've just completely deflected any form of negativity regarding it because ultimately there was always going to be some form of negativity regarding the four applicants that weren't successful. But for me, this is far bigger. This is about growth that will be sustainable based upon finances, and let's not get carried away regarding any area or demographics. This is about money. This is about a club being able to sustain itself in the A-League and add a value to it. And that's the end of the argument for me, because having worked in a football environment, it's very costly for owners to do so. So I'm happy. I really am. It's taken a long time to get here. A lot of discussion, but ultimately, who are we to suggest who's right and who's not, who's wrong? We haven't seen the analytics and the review of each bit, but I'm happy for football. You know who I'm happy for the most? I'm happy for the aspiring coaches, the aspiring young talented footballers that aren't getting an opportunity to play in the A-League, and that's who I'm excited for.
Yeah, very good call. I think that's one of the great positives to come out of it that we've spoken about, and I know Joey Lynch is certainly big on that too. Let's get stuck into the games. We're going to start with a different one. We're going to give the two teams that are perennially cellar dwellers in Wellington Phoenix and Central Coast Mariners, we're going to give them a run. So firstly, what did Mark Rudin and the Knicks do so well against Sydney FC? Because most people who follow Australian football were absolutely gobsmacked at halftime.
Yeah, well, I was covering that game up in Sydney with Fox, and Mark Bosnich actually was the only one on the panel that selected Wellington, so that was interesting. So he must have seen the forecast and went with it. So that was very interesting that he assumed they would. What I liked about Wellington was they came and played a brand of football in the attacking half. They created a lot of chances, and they took the game to Sydney. A lot of managers travelling the way they do, especially the distance, could be tempted to play a defensive structure and really look to play for the draw and maybe, potentially win the game on transition or from a set piece. But Mark set his team up in a way that was really dynamic, created many, many chances, as I said, and I thought they were brilliant overall. And that mentality has just demonstrated that you've got them playing with a belief, and why can't they go and do it again this weekend?
One of the things about Wellington, Scotty, that really intrigues me is the role that, I'll try and say his name correctly, Michael Kopczynski, I believe that's right, I'll go with it. But his role in that team, he kind of seems to be dropping back into that back line and adding that extra central defender from the number six role. And it's working pretty well so far. Obviously, it was a little bit of a slow start. We only saw him after a few games. But can you sort of talk to us about the role that he's playing with the Knicks?
Well, that role is interesting because, you know, the trend at the moment is that three at the back with the ball. But, you know, we did it a few times at Newcastle where if a six has the mentality of a central defender, they can drop into the back four on transition. So you are defending with a back four. And what that means is you really need to be very organised, because the person playing in front of him, whether or not be a 7, 11 or 10, they need to drop into that that six position as well. So essentially a player drops down one line to add more protection to the team. So that's a disciplined role. That's not easy. But that's worked upon on the training ground and clear instructions in and out of possession as well. If you've got someone like that in your team, it's very valuable because it allows you to overload that midfield with him stepping into that mid-third. And that was massively evident for me last week. You saw the system of Sydney, the 4-4-2 with Brosk and Lafondra playing up front. We were crying out for someone to drop into midfield, one of those two, to support the press, because what essentially was happening were Wellington was finding the spare man and the key passes or forward passes with no pressure on the ball were being made, and the execution was outstanding. So that's really the benefit of that role, having that person, the ability to step in and out of each line.
Scott, maybe for one of the traditional cellar dwellers, things are looking up for the Phoenix, but another one, the Mariners, seemingly nothing going right for them at the moment. What does Mike Mulvey have to do to turn it around there in Gosford and get the Mariners up and about?
One thing he can't do is create a culture of excuses. That's the first thing he mustn't do, because if players buy into that sort of environment, anything goes, mate, and then it's a sliding scale. So I'm pretty sure with his coaching staff, he'll be keeping the training ground very positive, looking to develop the team in overall, you know, team confidence. It does come down to confidence a lot. And if you look at their start and the players they're missing, that's very challenging, because he set his team up. But guys, I'm not being funny. These teams who are down the bottom that spend the least in the salary cap, only takes two players to completely disjoint your season, potentially your season, depending on the length of those injuries. And that's the negative component of not spending the salary cap and not spending on different quality players, because versatility and flexibility is out the window the minute you lose Orr and McCormack, and who do you go to? So all the best to Mike. It's not an easy job, but it's about consistency and behaviours being consistent and getting the attitude right.
Now, we've got the small matter of the Sydney Derby, which is my favourite fixture in the A-League. Come on, Joey. It has to be. Don't be too Melbourne-centric.
Well, I'm putting disrespect on the distance derby there, I reckon.
Very good. Now, it's huge because, of course, Sydney FC have had the wood over their rivals, the Wanderers, for quite some time now. This is a generic one before we break it down tactically, but is this the best chance that the Wanderers have had in a long, long time to finally break their duck against Sydney FC?
Yeah, well, why wouldn't it be? You look at the form of each team. There was pressure on Steve Corica in Sydney with that performance last week. And what I mean by pressure is not necessarily huge amounts of pressure, but expectations from within the club. That was so below par. It was borderline frightening to watch the application of some of those quality players. We were in shock watching it, because ultimately it was so far below any level that we've seen Sydney perform in numerous years. So opportunity beckons for Western Sydney Wanderers regarding them making a step. And I agree completely. What an opportunity for them right now. I'd probably say they've never played Sydney in worse form for probably since the inception and when they arrived in the league, I'd suggest.
I think for me, Scotty, it's been a bit the same with the Wanderers this game versus others, wherein it'll be, for me, a bit of a battle of the midfield. So look at Keanu Backus and Jordan O'Doherty, two young guys making up those dual six roles versus Brolante and O'Neill on the other side, obviously two experienced campaigners with a lot more game time under their belts. But, I mean, you speak a lot about mindset as well. And I look at the Wanderers' loss against Melbourne Victory, and Marcus Bubble after that game was talking a lot about how they were scared of Melbourne Victory. So I think they were a little bit more fearsome against the Mariners last week, but clearly this is an entirely different test. So when it comes to that mindset, do you expect them to kind of take some stock from that loss against Victory and, I guess, be a little less fearless about Sydney FC?
Oh, they couldn't be much worse than when they played Melbourne Victory. The manager said that. They didn't compete, and I can't remember his analogy, but it was basically to the point suggesting that it was men v boys. So what you had was a team that actually had to really fight for the credibility from the fans' perspective and demonstrate that they had the capacity to represent the football club. And they did that last week against a team that was struggling. The big derby now, they go into it with a bit of confidence and form. But on the flip side, their manager, i.e. Corica, has to get a response from his team this week, because ultimately expectations at the big clubs, it grows quicker and the pressure grows quicker than it would be potentially on a Mike Mulvey, for example, because the board wants a lot more and therefore the players have a lot more pressure on them. So Babel's probably got the balance right now in terms of where their direction on the back of that heavy loss to Victory. But that was an important game last week. You probably suggest that he was really looking at that fixture for Central Coast Mariners and almost banking the fixture list that it was Central Coast Mariners, not another top side, so he can get the season back on track.
Scott, I wanted to ask you really quickly, and apologies to the other boys, but I'm going rogue here and going off the running sheet. But I was at Warren Joyce's press conference this morning, and I asked him about, the fact that last week Melbourne City didn't have a single shot on target, despite the fact that both Joyce and Jamieson said that they dominated the game. How do you think City can actually start turning some of this supposed dominance, where in reality it's just winning the possession stat, into actual shots on target and goals?
Personnel's first of all, attacking patterns of play and the work you've done on the training ground is two. Unless you're actually coaching your players to get into the final third and execute, they'll be making it up on the run. So all that training methodology needs to be underpinned on the weekend in the fixture. So for me, it always starts on the training ground and how you apply yourself and how you set your team up, because players are clever, players are smart, but they also need direction. And with direction, that provides some form of structure and understanding between each player and the units. So for me, it always starts there. And I heard Sasha Ogonofsky talk about dominance, and his dictionary meaning was simple, and it's to win games. And for me, I've only worked at senior football, never in development, and it is about winning games. So forget possession stats, forget statistics to a degree. They show trends and performance trends, that is. But ultimately, a senior football club needs to win games, and ultimately shots on target do that. But it's the right personnel in the right structure. And sometimes, guys, it's not just about the same structure. You may well have to change the attacking structure completely. And what I mean by that is your starting positions and potentially tactical approach to get more men in advanced areas. So the guys in wide areas have more options. So maybe he's looked at the video and set his team up differently, but we'll have to wait and see.
Now, of course, you're a big dog in the coaching world with your academies, mate. So, Identity Pro, what's going on? What have you been doing in the last, say, week since we spoke to you, Scotty?
Last week, it's been an enjoyable week, lads, I must admit. It's winding down for the year. So, I'm looking forward to 2 weeks off, actually. We've got our last week at Berwick and Mount Eliza this week coming up on Monday night, which will be good. So we'll actually put a bit of a barbecue on for the parents and the kids and celebrate Christmas and our term 3 and term 4 together. And then it will be 2 weeks off. But I'm actually at Lang Warren as well, guys, in the NPL. So our pre-season's kicking off as well. So we're working hard. So it's busy times in the coaching world.
Yep, no doubt, mate. You're doing a fantastic job. So for people who want to learn more, of course, head to identitypro.com.au. Scotty, great stuff. Enjoy the football on the weekend, and I'll just keep on smiling.
Hey, smile for me, mate. I want to feel it from down the peninsula.
Good work. Thanks, mate.
All right, boys.
Take care. We'll speak to you soon.